welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
And we have my wife with us today, Brianna.
Hello, a pleasure.
And also myself, Adam. And of course, we've got Lexi Collins. How's it going, bro?
Good. How are you?
Good, man.
Good.
It's awesome to have you on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. This is cool.
No worries.
Now, we were just having a discussion.
Yeah.
What do we call you? Are you Alexi? Are you Lex? Yeah. Are you Lexi? Are you?
The Lex Man.
The Lex Man.
Self-appointed Lex Man.
Alexi was what I was born as. Probably most people at church call me Lex.
Okay.
Which I think maybe was my wife's and her family's influence.
Okay. So the Lex Man was out from there.
Yeah, the Lex Man was my like. It was an in joke that went too far. It's like my self-appointed nickname.
Yeah,
and I'd talk about myself in
third person,
and
it that, stuck. That classic. Yeah,
it really stuck. And then I turned it into something even more than that. But yeah.
Hashtag the Lex Man.
Yeah, that's how. That's actually because I didn't have social media for a long time,
and so
I used to say just hashtag the Lex Man, and that for a while was my only social media presence.
Oh, we should maybe look up that hashtag.
There might be some weird stuff.
Oh, yeah. Your stuff will be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah. Obviously.
Good fun.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Lex?
Okay,
man.
Lex Man. I am, I'm 32 and I'm a teacher and I'm a dad and a husband and I play music, I think is maybe, they're probably the most important parts of me.
Awesome.
Amazing.
And I go to Guymere Baptist Church.
Oh, well,
I should have added that. Oops.
Fantastic. And, I mean, what's life like in your 30s?
It's good. Yeah, I've been working as a English and drama high school teacher.
That'd be so much fun.
Yes.
And challenging.
Some of it, yeah. Yeah, this year is a little different for me though. My wife's gone back to we've got two kids now, a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my wife she runs her own business, wanted to go back to full time work. So this year's been a little different for me because I've taken a year's leave from my full-time job and I'm doing casual teaching. So I'm still teaching, but I'm also primary carer for my kids. So
Is that the same school?
No, actually different. Wanted to do it. So I've been working at a girls' school for 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wanted to expand my teaching experience a little bit, work at a public school and other schools. So,
okay, cool.
So yeah, so it's been
awesome.
Yeah.
It's been a different year. So life in my 30s, I don't know. It's changing constantly.
Yeah. Sounds exciting though. Yeah. And I mean, what a great opportunity to have the flexibility with work and spend more time.
Yes.
You know, your family, working with the girls and
Yeah. Awesome.
Very lucky. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
You also mentioned that you are still teaching casually.
Yeah.
So what age group are you teaching?
So high school, yeah, anything. And the fun thing, I mean, they try and put me on English or drama, what I'm trained in, or music because they know I play music. Mm. But yeah, any age group from, what are they, 12 to 18, I think, is what your high school age is. But, yeah, but they can put me on any subject, really. So
when that's casual, does that mean they call you the day before or something?
They can call me day of sometimes
day
in the morning.
Of.
Yeah,
What about your two-year-old, though?
Oh, so I've got days
that you
that,
can
like, the
be,
schools know that I can
oh,
work.
Oh, that you can work. I was going to say, yeah, this would be like, but guys, I got a kid.
Yeah, but they usually book me in prior to morning of. That's only happened a couple of times.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Nice. So what is something people may not know about you?
Something people may not know about me. I used to be a film projectionist.
Oh.
That might be one.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
People, as in at the movies.
Yep.
At the cinema. You're the person at the back.
Yep. Yeah. Loading up the 35mm.
Oh,
film.
So there were
yep.
the reels before it was went digital.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. I was the there day. For the transition. I lost my job.
Bought in the new tech and
yeah.
so
still have to load the digital.
It was Avatar.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
Avatar
really?
Made us get the digital projectors in. I'm still angry at James Cameron about it.
2009, I think that was.
Was it 2009?
I think that's when it came out.
I think you're right.
I've heard that stat recently, so I hope I'm right. Sorry if I'm not, people.
Yeah. So no, you're right. That one came out, and then very slowly all the old projectors got.
Yeah.
So that was another sort of 5 years after that. All the old projectors got replaced.
James Cameron, you're hurting. Livelihood of these projectionists,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's it. But anyway, that's maybe the one thing people would find interesting. I think most people are surprised that 35mm film was still being used, like, not that long ago. But I had this one situation where you said the reels, and the reels come in, usually a movie would come in like 5 to 7 reels.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this, what we would do, and all modern cinemas would put all the reels together. Into a giant reel, which would be on like a horizontal platter. But we would have to move that, and we'd have these like wooden sleeves that we could, they're very tightly wound, these reels. So we could move them. We usually should get somebody else to help us. But I had this one incident at midnight. I was carrying a reel.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
And I had to carry it down to a different projection room because we had sort of 2 levels.
Crikey.
And I was carrying it down. It was midnight, and then the ring in the middle
popped out. Is this
going
right? I think it's going. No.
And then I spent, no joke, 10 and a half hours
re-spoiling
winding
it
back onto the platter.
Oh, my god!
I almost went crazy.
What was that?
I almost went crazy.
It's like putting someone in a room and making them listen to the same song for like 5 hours or 10 hours and then they win like $1 million.
You didn't win the $1 million.
Yeah, yeah. You just kept your job.
Yeah. Didn't win $1 million. And it was, I mean, my manager called me out. I was like, you shouldn't have stayed. Like you should have stayed for maybe a couple of hours, try to help. And then left.
You're like, no, I'm dedicated.
I stayed till 10:30 in the morning.
Oh my goodness!
Winding that, yeah, that's one thing.
That's burnt in your memory like a film.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So tell me, is it true
if
you get to work for the cinemas, do you get unlimited popcorn and drinks?
Not according to the rules. But pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pecs of the job.
Yeah, I think when I started, they sort of gave that. They sort of told us that was the case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then things got a bit tighter, and then we were bought out by a major, you know, like greater union or someone event at the time. But they bought us out, and then the rule was very much
hardline.
Yeah, you can't be eating this popcorn or drinking this drink.
Oh.
Half price if you.
There was some sort of discount. Yeah, yeah. Free movies was our biggest perk. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I used to work at Macca's.
Yeah.
The big giant M in the sky. And we got half price food. So
how good is that?
Yeah. So that was all right.
Yeah.
There's got to be some benefits to jobs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a puku that, you know, sorry, stomach for those in Australia that shows that I have a little bit of Macca's still these days.
Puku is tummy in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. Tummy in Maori. Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Is there a particular book, movie, or series that has influenced you in your faith journey?
I heard you ask this question on another podcast, and I started getting concerned that it wouldn't have an answer for this.
You have thought about it.
But I've started thinking about it. I thought maybe Lord of the Rings or something, like, because I'm a nerd that way. But I think maybe if I'm going to go with movie, I would, to keep it on theme here, I was a good kid, always followed the rules. I never saw an MA movie until my mum took me to see Passion of the Christ. I think maybe I was 14.
There you
so
go.
I was almost of age.
Sure.
And I think maybe I think maybe that impacted me. I think being a millennial, you know, I've heard the story of the crucifixion my whole life, but actually sort of seeing it was probably was an important image for me in developing my faith.
Yeah.
Now, these days, probably doesn't play in my mind much, that movie, and I've got other thoughts about it these days. But I think, you know, at the time it was a really powerful sort of way to say, oh, this is the type of sacrifice this is. And I think that for me, yeah, the Passion of the Christ, I became a obsessed with it. Like I was really interested in the way they made it. I remember my mum buying me like a book about how they made it, and all the you know, even about the special effects and the makeup, and which I found interesting at the time.
Amazing. Yeah, nice. And even I know the actor who played Jesus in that movie was so moved himself personally playing that character and that particular moment in Jesus' time on earth, and how, like you said, how powerful and impactful that was to really get to experience, obviously not to the same level, but to try and emulate what Jesus did.
Yeah, put himself in those shoes. Yeah.
Pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, it was heavy, yeah.
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 It was a pretty hectic movie, actually.
Yeah, really.
Quite full on for like a 14-year-old to go see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
for sure.
Good that your mum took you in.
Yeah, I think it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was probably better than the other MA movies at the time. I would say so,
yeah.
Yeah, very powerful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, along that same sort of theme, would you share a little bit about how you actually became a Christian?
Sure, yeah. It's the boring Christian testimony. You know,
there's no such thing.
Brought up in a Christian home. but yeah, my family were very much committed to our church, which is not far from here, but it was an Anglican church. And I grew up in that. My godfather was the minister of the church. You know, that was our community. So it was always just part of our lives. I don't have a cool story about when I'd made the decision. I think it's been, you know, I've probably made the decision every couple of years again.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know when I became a Christian, but it was always just what we did. We were always, you know, my dad was always, well, my whole family were always on the church music team. And my you know, including my brother and my sister, and that's how I learned to play instruments. And then my dad was often preaching or leading the service.
Cool.
How amazing. And, you know, I know for some of us that grew up in Christian households, you feel like, oh, cliche Christian, it just always was something I did. But what a blessing it is to have the foundations of, you know, our parents or our grandparents that have just helped gently guide and make available faith.
Yes. Yeah. I realize that I am super lucky. And I think, I grew up, they didn't put us in Christian schools or anything like that. I went to public schools and so do my siblings. And I actually really appreciated that in that I, you know, my faith was part of, you know, my family and my community. And when I went to school, it was part of my identity.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it wasn't another school subject. It wasn't something that, you know, it was sort of a point of difference for me. And I think I appreciated that way of I guess having that sort of real world experience of being out and about with people who believed other things or didn't believe anything like that.
And
I think that in a way made my faith stronger, because it was like, okay, that's who I am. That's who they are. And this is who I am. And you know, not that I was walking around the school preaching or anything like that, but
being able to have those open conversations.
But actions can sometimes speak louder than words. So they would have seen, noticed things about you that was different to
them,
maybe.
Cool. I think too, you touched on something else really, really cool. There is the fact that you've checked in over the years.
Mm.
You know, you're doing that check-in with God.
Yeah.
You know, where am I at here? What does this look like?
And I'd say it's evolving. My definition of what it is to be a Christian has evolved a lot. You know, when I was a kid, it was, oh yeah, I go to Sunday school every week, and then it changed to go to youth group, and then I made the decision at one of those youth camps, I always wish I had a really cool story. So I think I kept sort of recommitting at, when I'd go to a youth camp, I'm like, oh, this might be my cool story. But then I realized, oh no, this is my story. And yeah. I'll recommit every couple of years.
Yeah. Which is cool in itself, right?
Fall away completely. But I think it's cool.
Yeah.
No, but it's thinking about your journey and where you're at that point. And we should check our faith. Not saying we should have complete doubt and go, oh no, I'm going to leave the faith. But I think it's good to check in and just go, oh, where am I at with God at the moment? Like this part of my life. Just suss it out. I think it's great.
Yeah. And like you said, it's also that reflective piece of, looking at how you've actually grown deeper and further in your faith over the years. Different things come in and out, crush paths, test you.
Oh, big time.
But it's healthy to reflect and do that check-in. Yeah. Mm. Cool.
So some may know and may not know, but we have seen you up on stage at church.
What?
On the platform. On the platform. I think we call it platform.
Oh, sorry, my apologies. Yes, the platform. We've seen you up on the platform. So we know you currently serve at GBC, but do you do anything in the local community as well?
Or, what is it for those who might be listening in? What is it that you get to do here at GBC, but also in our community?
Yeah, so I've been, how long have I been at Guymere for? There's a question. I feel like I've been saying 10 years for about 17 years. No, I think I've been here maybe 15 years, and I think maybe for about 10 of those. Not quite 15. But anyway, but for about 10 of those years I've been playing. I started playing drums here on the platform, and then eventually they – asked me to lead, so I started playing guitar and singing as well.
Yeah, cool.
So that's how I'm committed here at Guymere, mostly is the music team, playing different instruments. And I'm trying to think, I used to also do coffee ministry, but then it just got a bit too much with the music. It's mainly music to how I'm committed here at Guymere, but in the wider community. Oh, that's – now I'm wondering how to answer that one. I don't know.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
In the wider community, I guess as a teacher, I have different opportunities to lead. To serve the community in that way. I've also just started – I play music outside
cool
church as well, and I think that's been probably a major part of my adult life and my teenage life was playing music in different bands, and I've just started like this kids music project thing that that I think is probably a way that I don't know if I'm serving the community yet, but that's a way that I intend to serve the community, is through doing that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, such a blessing, and getting to witness and be part of worship with you, whether it be up on the platform or part of the rest of the congregation, it's always such a blessing what you do. And
it is a blessing, and it's an honor to work with you too. Behind the scenes, but it's awesome to be part of that team with you as well.
Yeah, and it's a gift. And you can tell that you also love it. You just love it. It's such a deep, deep level. So it's so great that you get to do that, not only here at GBC, but, other opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I do love it. I mean, as I said before, it's always been a part of my life is like being in the, my family being in the worship team. Sunday morning, we're always at church early. Because somebody was always on the church band or something like that.
Yep.
I do love it, and I do love that it's a good way to serve the church. It's a good way to serve God. Yeah. And then selfishly, it's a good way to stay in practice when it comes to playing different instruments and playing with other people of different skill sets and different gifts. And so I do love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
As they say, music is good for the soul.
Mm. Oh, yeah, big time. Right.
So if we talk discipleship, what's your take on discipleship and how do you think you live that out?
Discipleship. I mean, my brain goes to the disciples. And what I like about the story of Jesus and the disciples is that they weren't perfect. They were pretty far from it. But they were, they were his people, and what made them his people is that they just followed him and went where he went. And I think that's what discipleship is for me. As I reevaluate my faith, I always come back to Jesus's teachings. If I've got anything I'm sort of confused about when it comes to faith, I always go back to Jesus's teachings and the story of Jesus. And it makes so much sense to me to follow him and to try be more like him and do what he does and do his work. So I think, discipleship for me is, really following in his footsteps and following him.
What would that look like? What's an example of you following in his footsteps?
I always think about for Jesus with a moment where he was asked, what's the most important commandment? I think it says like an expert of the law asked him, right? What's the most important commandment? Trying to trick him up. Yeah. And he says, love the Lord your God. And then he said, the second one is like the first one, which I always think is interesting that he says that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's love your neighbor as yourself. And so for me, that is really every decision I make, I try and line it up to that. Is what I'm doing, putting others first, being servant-hearted. I think it really has shaped sort of how I live my life. Or I hope it has. Trying to just follow that rule to me is just. I figure it's the secret to true happiness is finding the joy in serving others and being sacrificial in the way you serve others, because following Jesus to me that's what it is. It's not about any of those other rules, because as he says, all those other rules hang on this one rule, these two rules I should say, which is about it's just about love.
Awesome.
Spot on.
So good. Okay, so we've got to the point of the podcast where we ask the big question. So
big question.
Strap in.
No pressure.
Not that kind. Just a reasonable question. So where have you seen Jesus at work in your life?
Where have I seen Jesus at work in my life? I think it's been throughout, in constant little bursts. The one that comes to mind, I think it was, I'm really bad at knowing my years, aren't I? But
that's all right.
I was 24, so there you go, eight years ago. coming up to 9 years ago, my dad died suddenly. And I think that was the one time, I was actually probably at a time in my life where I was in sort of reevaluating faith and maybe, on the verge of sort of thinking, life would be easier if I just walked away. My dad died unexpectedly as a heart disease, so a heart attack sort of just got him. The moment it was an intense night. Got the call from my siblings who sort of said, mum's called and said this has happened. We all met at the hospital and we all prayed. I was already under the impression that it was pretty serious. But we all prayed, and I was there was this moment where we prayed, we were praying, and then we got that the news that he had died. And I think in that moment, it was a moment of, okay, that just didn't work, you know, prayer doesn't work. It was just so interesting how God just so, and Jesus so quickly, I don't want to say redeemed himself, but sort of didn't let me believe that. He just made himself so present to us. And I always think about how Jesus says, I should have done my research beforehand, but he says something about, the morning, blessed are the morning, I think, they will be comforted, I think it's something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it was just so clear in that time for me how much we were being comforted, how much my mum, in particular, who, you know, at the time was living at home, just her and my dad. So, you know, seeing her was a huge, a big part of my emotion for me was just seeing her and thinking about, oh my gosh, she's on her own now. And I really could have been angry at God in that moment, but, you know, God just kept comforting us, and Jesus kept comforting us in all these ways. And I think to me that was, in my particular state or in my faith, I was going through so much, and I was, but God just kept saying, "Hey, here I am. Don't worry about it here."
Yeah.
It was just that real moment where I was like, "Oh, this is good. This is, you know." And then seeing God in other people as well, like the way that people reached out and helped mum. You know, there's still, so there's 9 years ago, and every week mum has these two people from church who just come over and do her garden for her and mow the lawns. Wow. And they've been doing it every week for 9 years. Like, just,
oh, bless.
And that's Jesus, you know, it's comforting. So often we ask, you know, how do we see Jesus working? We look for something supernatural, but it's like, that's not supernatural. I mean, that's the love of Jesus in them.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's how I see Jesus working is through other people. And that just, to me, that was such a important moment in my faith of like, oh, that's Jesus working. And so I try and live, you know, like that with that. Yeah, that's my version of faith is like, yeah, what they're doing. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, community is such a special part of it, and like you said, it's that others focus and looking to serve those around us and reaching out to people and loving them.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I'm trying to remember what the wording of the question was. I keep trying to tie it back, but it was the have we seen Jesus working in my life? And there were so many little coincidences at the time. I put coincidences in quotation marks.
We love those God moments.
that really made me just go, oh, that's Jesus working. Yeah. And I think, I've seen it heaps of times since, but I think that's the one that I always remember back to, because I'm like, oh, this is why I go to church. This is why I, you know.
That's encouraging, because it so could have flipped the other way, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Because you could have gone, well, you know, dad's gone.
Yeah.
Mum's by herself.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, hey, awful to say, but sometimes that's the way it works for some people, and then God does everything he can to get that person back. And usually, you know, the person comes back, but there can be a massive, you know, 5-10 year period where the person's had that time away from God, and who knows what goes on in their mind, but thankfully that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I'd say he didn't let it happen.
Yeah, that's right.
I think in the state I was in at the time, I was ready for it to happen. I was like, you know, oh, here's my chance to be angry. Like, I hadn't really gone through hardships as a kid, you know, very, very minimal. Like, up until last year, I still had all my grandparents. So, like, I'd hardly known anyone that had died. And then that happened. I'm like, okay, here's my time to be angry or to feel that. And he really didn't let let me. Yeah.
Yeah. God just kept pouring out his
love.
Yeah,
there's just so much love.
Showing you so much opportunities then, where it's just all for you. Yeah, praise God.
And I remember reading that passage of, about blessed are the mourning, for they will be comforted. And I was like, oh yeah, that's exactly what happened for me. And I'll acknowledge that it's not the case for everyone, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw it. It was what we needed at that time, I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, I mean, you've touched on this a little bit already, but, you know, how did that moment or those times in your life, how has that shaped you to where you are today?
You know, I think I'll always have that in my memory, that image of you know, my mum, okay, she's on her own now, and then seeing the way Jesus blessed her and the way her church blessed her. And I just thought, that sort of community is so important, and that having that sort of meaning in life is so important. I feel like it's just going to hold me accountable to some extent. Because I want to, yeah, it's not that, you know, if I ever lose someone, you know, that if something like that ever happened to me, it's not that I want to have a church that's going to serve me. That's not what I'm saying. You know, I want to be that for other people.
Absolutely.
You want to be the hands and feet. Yeah,
because I look at the way those people treated us in that time. And I think that's – I don't know if I answered that properly.
But. No, that was great. You know, and it's often just that thought of, even if God, you use me to show your love to one person.
That's it.
It's worth it.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I get challenged by that sometimes. Mm. Sometimes I'm like, why aren't I, you know, changing the world right now? Why aren't I? You know,
but it's one
ending
person
poverty by myself.
Yeah. Why aren't you? Hello.
Yeah. I'm really
please
trying.
Don't put that pressure on yourself.
It's like,
but it's true, right? You know, prayer, asking God, use me, and but just humbly going about your life and just being a willing vessel. And I guarantee God has used you many times,
For sure.
And will many more.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so we've got kind of to the end. So how are you following Jesus now?
How am I following Jesus now? How am I following Jesus now?
All good.
How am I following Jesus now? I'm thinking about Jesus' greatest commandment, or the golden rules, I think is what they get referred to, I think as a father, I get a chance to show sacrificial love, I feel like I'm talking about how good I am right now, so this is very uncomfortable, how good God is, that's right, I continue to serve the church, I think I try and challenge myself every couple of weeks to be better. And that's something that, you know, whether it's making more environmentally friendly choices or also reaching out to someone that maybe I hadn't been.
Sure.
The other thing is, so I've started this kids music thing, and it's been a really interesting sort of thing to launch, because I'm not doing it as a Christian artist. It's not it's not a Christian music act.
Yeah.
I was in bands my whole as I said before, my whole adult and teenage life, really playing in bands of different.
Genres,
different successes, but they've never been Christian bands, like genre specific Christian bands, it's always been a passion for me to not preach to the choir, that's so to speak.
Sure,
it's always been to me to such a way to reach people, you know, through music and through art, is to reach people with music that's not overtly Christian, but it's, you know, the worldview and the perspective of a Christian. And the, you know, just I guess the values being portrayed through the music is, it's not, and again, this is in all my past projects, it's never, it's always, I've always hoped that it would sort of show a Christian perspective, and people who aren't Christian, who didn't grow up with the Christian, the boring Christian testimony, those people who maybe have never even heard of Jesus, could relate, you know, to the music, or could appreciate what the music is saying before finding out, you know, that there's something more behind it. But yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know if I'm doing God, Jesus's work yet in that, but that's the intention there. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, the heart's behind it, which, you know, that's really powerful. Well, Lexman.
The Lexman.
Hashtag the Lexman.
The Lexman.
What an honor it's been to have you on. It's been so great to get to know you a little bit more, but more importantly, to hear where God's been at work in your life. And I really love, you know, for anyone listening in who's exploring faith, what does it look like to be a Christian, or wrestling with their faith right now? You know, what you've shared tonight is so inspiring. You know, do the check-ins. Wrestle with God. He'll reveal himself.
Yeah, definitely. I always say, I always, you know, I think that Christians tend to sweep things under the rug sometimes, you know, when it comes to doubts or questions. And I always think, if you keep doing that, you've got nothing, you know, you can't stand on the rug anymore. So so just lift up that rug and work out what, you know, what you need to wrestle with. Because I reckon God will always have a good answer.
Yeah.
Even if to go, God, what's this happening to me right now? And he's like, just gives you a nice calm answer and how to figure out whatever that thing is.
So. Yeah, that's it. Why did you let me drop this film all over the floor?
10 hours later.
Because I wanted you to learn patience, my friend.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to seeing you around GBC.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymere Baptist Church, please check out the Guymere Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.